Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And we want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a great program for you today. We have two very special guests. We have James Sunquest, who will be my co-host. And then we have Bear Frankson, and he'll be sharing his testimony. You'll be really blessed by this today. Why? Do you think that a church or other Christian ministries would threaten to have someone arrested merely for exposing the false teachings of Rick Warren? So you'll get to hear this story today, and we see so many things happening, don't we, in these end times, in the end time church. The church that has compromised, and anyway, those people, the ones that are standing for the truth of the gospel, expect more and more persecution to come our way. So anyway, we're not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Hi, James.
Hi, Susan.
Yeah. Hi, James. This is my co-host.
Oh, what a delight. Here we go again.
Yeah. Yes, there's always something interesting today, and I think Bear is on also. Hi, Bear.
Hi, Susan. How you doing?
Good.
Hi, Bear.
Hi, James.
How about this? The Three Musketeers.
Yeah. Amen to that. Amen to that. So, we need to just give a little background, James, of how you came to know Bear and his story.
Well, I was walking through the streets of New York City, and I saw the shopping bag person standing out in the corner with long gray white hair, and I thought this surely must be Elijah himself. No, that's a joke. I am... To tell you the truth, of drawing a total blank, how we first connected. Bear, help me out.
When I was on the street in front of Mark Martin's church, Calvary Community Church, you know, I was just kind of awestruck that I was the only one out there, and there was nobody else stirred to the battlefield. So I was praying, and a friend of mine that makes copies at the UPS store, her name's Debbie, she looked up an article online about Warren Smith's book, Deceived on Purpose, and there were some excerpts, and it had a phone number on there. So I called the phone number, and it was Lighthouse Trails Publishing, and I talked to Deborah Dombrowski, and I told her what had happened. And at that time, they were publishing Warren Smith's book, Deceived on Purpose. So she had called Warren, and then Warren called me at home. And we talked for quite a while on the phone. I briefed him on everything that took place. And then Warren Smith called James Sunquest. And then a few days later, I got a call from James Sunquest. And that's how we met. And
been, well, Warren is one of the, Smith is one of the original pioneers in exposing the purpose-driven principality. Our first book came out very similar at the same time, but I think his beat me by a little bit. And we weren't, when we talked on the phone and prayed, we weren't competitive, but just cheering each other on. He had a different perspective, Warren Smith, because his books started out more from having been in the New Age and recognizing the influence and teachings that had come into Robert Schuller's church. And so he wrote, I think his book was called Deceived on Purpose, wasn't it, Bear?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Bear made up these great posters that banners into the streets when he would go stand and witness on the streets in Phoenix or just protest. In a little while, I can't wait to hear some of your account about what happened to you, Bear. But since Susan asked for a little bit of a frame the picture here as to how we all know each other. And so anyway, Bear has this great poster he put together, four color, that has that line in it about being deceived on purpose. Bear, can you tell the listeners the name, everything that's on that poster? And you sent me one too.
Oh, I got a copy of James's book, and then Warren Smith's book, and then Ray Youngen's book, A Time of Departing. And that was the first poster, and then I added another book to it. But the caption read on the book, if you just took the titles of the book, I put a little caption in between the books. And it was the title of James's book first, Who's Driving a Purpose-Driven Church, that they would choose to be deceived on purpose, which results in a time of departing because they rejected the truth in the name of purpose, which is Tamara Hartzell's book. That's the last book on the poster.
Yeah, she's another early pioneer, one of the earliest. I think she might have had her book out even before ours. I got to check the date on it, but she had has a great site, simplicityinchrist.org, that is devoted to the whole subject. But she'd come also from the Four Square denomination that promoted Rick Warren. She had worked at a church there, and Jack Hayford's brother's church, Jim Hayford, up in Washington. And no, I scratched that. I'm getting her mixed up with Susan Bertolotto, who did. She has the website Simplicity in Christ. Who worked at Four Square Church. Sorry about that. The Tamara Hartzell has a book that's free online, the whole entire book, and it's a very thick book. And she goes through the whole foundation of his teachings. And, of course, Bear has read everything on that, and he's been out. Well, I guess maybe would it be appropriate to say that because you were equipped to understand what the teachings were about Rick Warren, you didn't go out and just decided to be a wrecking ball in the church, Bear, but good things didn't happen to you on the other hand, right? Can you share what happened when you decided to take a stand for righteousness?
Well, everything happened according to what Jesus said. You know, he said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And that just comes with the territory. It's a part of the program. So every soldier in Christ might as well get used to it. And it's not going to change until he takes us home. You know, that's where we experience perfect peace, perfect joy, no more pain, no more sorrow, and we'll forever be with the Lord. But,
so isn't all this going to happen according to Dominion theology, where the church takes over the earth that's being taught all over the earth, and that we're just going to serve the earth to Jesus on a silver platter when he returns?
not at all. That's unscriptural. That's false doctrine.
So things are not going to get better and better? They're going to get worse and worse then, Bear?
Oh, yeah, it says that in the scripture, in the last days, evil will wax worse and worse.
Yeah.
And it also says in the last days, they'll be born without natural affection. And,
yeah.
And we could see that around the world. You know, you got kids killing kids and kids killing parents. And, you know, it's just they have no love for their fellow man.
Yes. Yeah, we really see that happening. I'm shocked, really, at how quickly it's happened in my lifetime. Where you really see that in the world we live in, this lack of concern for other human beings and the lack of natural affection. But tell us, Bear, how you were threatened with arrest?
It was back in July 2004. My wife and I were attending Calvary Community Church. It's a Calvary Chapel. It's on here in Phoenix, Arizona. It's on I-17 between Cactus and Thunderbird on the west side on the access road.
How long had you been attending there?
About 3 years.
Oh.
Were you a member there, or just attending?
No, just attending. I just...
Of course, members of Calvary Chapel, right?
Yeah, They had a membership class, and we went to it. I was just curious to see what they did, and I wasn't the least bit interested in being a member because I'm a member of the body of Christ, and the Lord says in His Word that we have joint seating with Him. So what higher position can you have than that? So what would church membership do for me?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's not very formal in the Calvary Chapel anyway. If you just go a long, long, long time, they sort of consider you a member, right?
They didn't me. I was there for 3 years, so, so that didn't work.
So then what happened at this church that you had been attending for 3 years? They knew you. Obviously,
yeah.
If you're going somewhere for 3 years, you and your wife, they do know you.
Yeah. I give out a lot of Bibles, and this one person I gave a Bible to gave me Rick Warren's book, thinking it was a Christian book. So that's my first exposure to the book. And as soon as I cracked the book open and started reading it, I thought, man, this guy stinks like a Schullerite, stinks like Robert Schuller, because I did extensive research on Schuller years earlier. Robert Schuller, on his Hour of Power program, was advertising a book titled Love, Medicine, and Miracles by Dr. Bernie Siegel, which is a doctrine of demons. And years earlier, back 1995, 1994, somewhere around there, that book made inroads into my family member's home, and it split the family up because in that book, Dr. Bernie Siegel talks about, under the heading A Guide Appears, where he was put into a trance by his cancer doctor friend, Dr. Old Carl Symington, and that's where he met and received his spirit guide named George that lives inside of him.
Oh, wow.
Later on, under Visualization 2, in that same book, he walks the reader step-by-step how you can do the very same thing. You put yourself in a trance, you get down this long path, long pauses in between, and when you get to the end, you meet and receive your very own spirit guide. This is a doctrine of demons. And so I call those spirit guides demon spirits because that's what they are. A rose by any other name is still a rose, and a demon spirit by any other name is still a demon spirit. And
yeah.
I confronted two sisters that were involved in it, and they just didn't like that. They were upset and ostracized me ever since. So,
now, Rick Warren,
but anyways,
go ahead, there.
But anyways, when I was going through Rick Warren's book, I got to page 31, and I see him speaking glowingly of Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Wow. I didn't know that.
He's a demon-possessed New Age leader, and he speaks glowingly of Dr. Bernie Siegel without warning to the unsuspecting reader.
Yeah.
See? And, you know, he uses Dr. Bernie Siegel to encourage people in hope. So he's using a demon-possessed New Age leader to encourage people in hope, you know, which is... And you know, I challenge so many people and so many purpose-driven pastors, and I ask them, which one of the apostles and prophets of old ever presented the demon-possessed favorably to the people? And when did Jesus teach his disciples to do that?
Yeah.
They never answer me. They
just
kick me out. But anyways, I went to the church, and I turned over a stack of information about Bernie Siegel and what I discovered in Rick Warren's book. And I turned it over to the bookstore, and they sent it over to the church office because I was talking to the gal that ran the bookstore in there because they're selling the book.
Yeah.
And Mark Martin owns the bookstore. And I wanted them to pull the book and warn the congregation because that was their duty before the Lord.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to let any grass grow under my feet, because we're not called to do that as soldiers in Christ. The scripture says, expose the unfruitful works of darkness, give no place to the devil, and preach the word in season and out of season. So in a week and a half, I talked to 8 people in total. I talked to 2 people in their bookstore, 2 in the coffee shop, and 4 in the sanctuary before and after church. I didn't disturb church service. I just talked to them just like I'm talking to you all. And a week and a half go by, and in they come, Phoenix PD, sheriff, 6 ushers, a couple of deacons, and they surrounded my wife and I in church. And they videotaped it.
We were sitting in the pew.
Yep. We were just dismissed, and before I got to stand on my feet, they came rushing down the aisle. And they even videotaped it, because Pastor Mark conveniently wasn't there that evening. So I think the video was for him, so he can see what took place.
Wow.
So
now, Barry,
I asked,
three years, excuse me for interrupting, but it just occurred to me that how is it that no confrontation or issue ever came up for the 3 years before that you'd been attending?
Well, they were promoting the book, The Prayer of Jabez, like the year before, and I turned over some information on that, and of course that fell on deaf ears, because the Prayer of Jabez, that's a big joke. It says in there, if you pray this prayer, God can't say no to you. Well, who in the world wants to be in the driver's seat?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Well, yeah,
you
we,
know, who
we
wants
tell
to
God
do that?
What to do.
You know,
yeah.
But that kind of fell on deaf ears. So that, you know, but and then I got a letter from Pastor Mark. I've never opened it. That was like 13 months earlier, before I got kicked out. I never opened it, because every time I try to talk to him, he kind of would blow me off, and I figured, well, I'm not going to read your letter. It's still here, sealed up, so I wasn't going to read it. So I didn't really care what he had to say. If he's not going to stand there and talk to me face-to-face, don't send me a letter.
Yeah, exactly. So now what happened when they approached you, and did they threaten you in any way, the police?
We were told to leave, and I said to the officer, he attends church there when he's not wearing his uniform. There's a few officers.
So was he actually on duty, or was he on duty for the church?
No, he was on duty for the church, but their full dress uniform, sidearm included, and it's a paid side job for him.
Yeah.
Which I didn't care. If they want that as their security, that's fine. But
yeah.
I just find it kind of strange, because when we read in the scripture about the first century church, they didn't hire Caesar's soldiers to do security work for him. If the Lord's not, you know, he said, Jesus.
The Pope, huh? The Pope has a Swiss guard. But it sounds like he had something like the Swiss guard, huh, Bear?
Yeah, pretty much.
So the pastor has bodyguards.
Yeah, he has a bunch of them hanging around there, his security and stuff, and he doesn't go anywhere without somebody around him, and I just think that, you know, he's living in fear. And the scripture says God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. So,
right.
What do you need all them around you for?
Yeah.
But anyways, that officer attends the church there when he's not wearing his uniform. But this was a paid side job for him. And like I said, that's fine if that's what he wants to do. But so I said to the officer, I said, what's my sin? What's my crime? What did I do wrong before the Lord? And he said. And he said, I don't know. They don't need a reason. This is private property. You need to leave, and if you come back, we'll arrest you. So I said to him, I said, has the spirit of the Reformation been in vain? Are we living under a Protestant popery? And I don't think he got it. I think it went over his head.
Yeah.
So we were heading towards the lobby, towards the door, and my wife with me, and this whole entourage escorting us out to our vehicles. So we get to the front doors, and I said to the deacon that was on one side of me, I said, is my wife kicked out also? And he goes, yep, she needs to go too, or she'll be arrested. And then the officer said the exact same thing. And I said to him, I said, that's guilt by association. I said, that doesn't hold up in the heathen court downtown. How does it hold up here?
Yeah.
And of course, they didn't answer me. They just kept escorting us out. We had to leave. But a few weeks later, I went on the street. After that, I made a bunch of copies of my proof against Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, and I started passing them out to the people coming and going.
Now, well, what street came, near the church?
Yeah. Yep. Right.
Right there.
Yeah, it's public domain, the public sidewalk.
Okay.
So it's on the north side of the church. The east side is the access road, so it's pretty busy there. But there's more foot traffic right there on the north side. So I just went over there and stood on the sidewalk, and that officer came down to the street along with another one, and they said, you know, if you don't leave, Pastor Mark's gonna file a restraining order against you, and you'll have to stay so many feet away from the property. And I said to him, I said, good, I hope he does. I said, he's been avoiding me like the plague, and I want to talk with him. And this way, if he does that, you know, I can put him on the stand and ask him questions directly, and he has to look me in the eye and answer me.
Yeah.
Well, they
you weren't
they
ever able
that.
To get an appointment with him to talk with him personally?
No. He has a standing invitation till this day, because many of the people would ask me, well, what does Pastor Mark think? And I said, good question. You go in there and stand in line and ask him, and you tell him that I want to sit down with him, every one of his deacons, every one of his elders, and if they all can show me scripturally where I'm wrong, I'll repent.
Yeah.
So they have a standing invitation they've never taken me up on. And I was on the street in front of that church for about 2 years. So
wow.
It wasn't like I was just there for a day or two. And they dropped that like a hot rock. That never did transpire. But they did call the police on me over the 2 years I was there several times. But nothing ever happened. You know, I said, go check the video camera. They adjusted the camera to point it down here, and I'm not doing what they're accusing me of. And then, of course, the video somehow didn't work or something, but nothing ever happened. But anyways, I asked that officer, Frank, I said, because he's supposed to be a fellow Christian, I said, Frank, if you're a fellow brother in the Lord, you're a fellow soldier in Christ. And I said, if you're a fellow soldier in Christ, you're a soldier first and foremost before you're a uniformed officer. I said, would you agree? And he said, yeah, I agree. And I said, then answer me this, Frank. Why didn't you ask them what my sin was, what my crime was, what did I do wrong before the Lord, that my wife and I would be so dramatically cast from the church in the presence of all? And he thought for a second. And then he got puffed up, pigeon-chested, and he goes, I was just doing my job. So I said to him, I said, Frank, that doesn't make Auschwitz any more palatable, knowing that the soldiers that worked there were just doing their job.
Yeah.
And he kind of bowed his head. He lost his pigeon chest, bowed his head, and started to walk away. He got about 20 feet away, and I hollered to him. I said, hey, Frank. And he turned around and looked at me, and I said, Frank, I don't hate you. I just hate what you did. There's a difference here. And he just bowed his head and kept on walking. But he wasn't behaving like a soldier in Christ. He was behaving like Caesar's soldier, Papal Mark's hired gun.
Right.
You know. So.
That's
where Mark Martin gets the label Papal Mark, because he acts like a little pope. You know. So.
What was the name of this church again, Bear?
Calvary Community Church.
Is that a Calvary Chapel?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So, aren't there Calvary Chapels in Phoenix that are opposed to Rick Warren?
Yeah, partly. You know, I haven't been over there in a while to talk to him again, but John Brown's church, after I got kicked out of Papal Mark's church, I went over there to bring John Brown up to speed, and I talked with him briefly in his office, and I told him what I discovered in the book, and he said, oh, we missed that, and he was glad that I brought it to his attention. And and then I told him, I said, you know, you need to warn your congregation, you know, that book's made inroads into your congregation here. And then he says, well, you know how we teach at Calvary, we teach verse by verse through the scripture. And, you know, because I said to him, I said, it says in there that we're to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, and this is definitely an unfruitful work of darkness. And then he says, well, we teach through the Bible verse by verse, and when I get to that verse, that'll be a good time to go and talk to him. And I said, that's probably 9 months down the road. I said, you're going to let that stuff fester here in this congregation? You know, so he didn't like the pressure. I don't know where he, I think he's opposed to it now. I have a friend of mine that attends over there, and it sounds like he's opposed to it, but I don't know how much he's opposed to it, because I'm on the street a lot, and I bring the subject up everywhere I go. And, you know, I don't, where are all these people? If these churches are really warning the people about Rick Warren's book, which is a damnable heresy, how come there aren't more foot soldiers out there exposing this, you know?
Well, it's been my question for years and years that how, whether, as Paul would ask the question, are there none wise among you? Apparently not. None wise among the elders at Saddleback, none wise among the editors and the proofreaders at Zondervan, none wise among them at Fox News, Rupert Murdoch's basically his showcase for running infomercials for Rick Warren.
Yeah.
Well, it just shows you how sick the churches are, not just here in the United States, but around the world, because, you know, the scripture says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. It doesn't say some truth. It says all truth. So how come a red flag didn't go up with these guys about this stuff in Rick Warren's book? Like the very first quote in Rick Warren's book is from an atheist. Now, how can an atheist help us with the things of God when they don't even believe in God? You know, and why in the world would Rick Warren want to quote an atheist when we've got a scripture, you know, the word of the living God he can quote? Then he quotes favorably.
And not a disclaimer for any of these false teachers he promotes that I can recall in anything, in any sermon he's ever preached, his books he's written. I can't think of one time where he quotes a false teacher that he at least puts a disclaimer in there, because you could claim the Judaizers had said some things that were right. They love their family. They pet dogs. They give money. They dress nice for church or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to go only when we're in that verse in the Bible can we talk about it. Imagine this, in the Catholic Church where they have all these lawsuits for pedophilia, and said, well, we're not going to say anything about what the priest did to that little boy because the child molestation doesn't come up until 9 months from now in our going through scripture. Or the list goes on. The person is committing adultery. Well, we don't get to that commandment until 3 months from now, so we can't talk about that. We can't expose this guy now because until we get to that verse in the Bible.
All about the money. Of course, he doesn't want to upset the people in his congregation. There may be some big givers, some big tithers there that like Rick Warren's book. And,
well, it's a great cover for the pastor, but what it really boils down to is a cover-up.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt your story.
They want to keep the good-paying customers good-paying customers.
That's exactly it, because most of these guys won't take a stand. I find that so many of the pastors are cowards. I know there's some good ones out there. But for the most part, most of them are sold out because they don't want to offend anybody. And, they have to keep the good-paying customers coming in because then they wouldn't have a job and a salary and a housing allowance and a car allowance and everything else that they get. So there's very few of them that will stand up for the truth.
Right, all under nonprofit.
Yeah.
You have another poster, Bear, you do on the streets. It's a thing about doctrine. Can you share with Susan's radio listeners that particular slogan?
Which one is?
Doctrine Divides.
Oh, yeah. You know, doctrine, you know, we have the scripture, and that's sound doctrine. And sound doctrine doesn't divide in a harmful way. You know,
right.
It divides in a healthy way.
Yeah.
But false doctrine divides in a harmful way.
Yeah.
You see? Because,
well, that's what we see in your case, especially, that it divided in a harmful way.
Well, yeah, because they accuse me, well, you're causing division. I said, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right, but not in a harmful way. I said, I didn't write the book. I just agree with it.
Right, but in their eyes, because, see, that's how deception is. They're deceived. They're promoting deception. And so instead of receiving correction, which is another thing, so many of the pastors won't receive any correction, especially from someone in the congregation, because after all, they're the pastor. And James has a wonderful article called Pastor is Master, isn't he? And,
yeah, I hand that out also.
And we see that. So, which I don't understand it, because it's if I'm deceived, I want to know. And I know when there was a time in my life that I was into the Word of Faith teachings real strong, and people some of my friends used to give me books and tapes and try to help me get out of it. Well, I didn't get angry at them because they were giving me a book or a tape. I took it, and maybe I didn't read it or listen to it immediately, but I did eventually. And now I'm so grateful that they gave me those things, because it helped me.
Right, right. Yeah, I often tell people I don't have a problem being wrong. That doesn't bother me. I want to be right with the Lord, but I don't want somebody to say I'm wrong just because they have thoughts and feelings that I'm wrong. I want them to show me scripturally where I'm wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I often tell them it stands or falls with scripture, not popular opinion. You know, it doesn't matter how popular something is.
It's somewhat hypocritical of them, Bear, because they're all for thoughts and feelings and imagination and dreams of the subjective in the emerging church. But when it comes to being didactic with presenting a scripture that's not that collides with their thoughts and feelings, then all of a sudden that's not acceptable to us.
No. Matter of fact, I had...
How many of the past conservative Christian pastors or congregations in Greater Phoenix have come to the defense of Pastor Michael Salmon because he was... put in jail for 60 days for having a Bible study in his house?
I don't know. That recently came on the news here, and I had a full plate, plus we went up to the mountains for a few days, so I want to do some follow-up on that and go. The guy's doing 60 days in jail for, my God, that's not a violent crime. You know, that just seems like overkill. You know, it reminds you of the Inquisitions, you know?
Well, you know, it isn't that bad yet. They're not throwing us to the lions and putting us on the rack.
Republic of Phoenix?
What was that?
What's it like living in the People's Republic of Phoenix?
Well, I think it's that way all over the United States and probably Canada. You know, it's just, you know, this is the sign of the times. I think we're living
the sign
in the last
of the
days.
One of the things I think that people don't know is that Phoenix is the kidnap capital of the United States. There's more kidnappings there.
Near Mexico, right, in the drug lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're south of us on the border there, so I guess they do that.
It's amazing that there's all these things going on in Phoenix, and yet the pastor, and I put it in quotes, sends someone in to a church service to remove you. You know, very interesting, for just speaking out against Rick Warren.
Yeah, he would send some of his deacons down there to the street, and they'd lock horns with me, and I'd tell them, I said, you guys aren't defending the faith, as it says in Jude, earnestly contending for the faith. I said, you guys are contending for thoughts and feelings. And I says, and know this, thoughts and feelings are not scripture. They're just thoughts and feelings. So if you all don't have any scripture to back up your position, you have no position that holds water before the Lord. So
yeah.
They would want to argue Papal Mark's position, and then they'd go down there and tell me, oh, so many people came to the Lord, they came down front. Well, that doesn't mean anything. You know, M7 group members, I call them, Matthew 7, you know, where Jesus says, not all that say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He says,
yeah, so what
many
does that
on
have
that
to
day.
Do with your case that so many people came forward?
Right. They're trying to justify Papal Mark promoting Rick Warren because he still had the book at that time. He wouldn't get rid of the book. And he was still promoting the book and selling the book in his bookstore. And this was their way of justifying, well, Mark Martin's not wrong before the Lord because look at all the people that came to the Lord at his
saved,
invitation.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean anything. If you stand back and look at the big picture and take a serious look at Matthew 7, where Jesus says that, not all that say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
He says many on that day. Doesn't say some or few. He says many on that day will say, but Lord, we did this in your name, we did that in your name, we did many mighty works in your name, we even cast out devils in your name. And I tell people, look, at Jesus doesn't dispute with these people that they did all this in his name. He just turns to that group and says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. He doesn't, notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, hey, I knew you guys for a while, then y'all went south on me, then I didn't know you anymore. He didn't say that. He said he never knew them. So this whole group lived their whole life with a counterfeit faith. And at the end...
Would you say that scripture totally applies to the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, I think it applies to anyone that's promoting iniquity because Jesus says to that group, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He calls them workers of iniquity. And I challenge these purpose-driven pastors when I go over some of this material with them. I discovered, like, the Charlie Rose interview where Rick Warren was interviewed by Charlie Rose, and he's a high-profile interviewer. And in that interview, Rick Warren says he's teamed up with gay activist group ACT UP, and he asked the head of the group, Eric Sawyer, how can I help you get your message out? And then later on, he says he's working with these guys. So I challenged these purpose-driven pastors, and I asked them, I said, which one of the apostles and prophets of old ever wanted to help the homosexuals get their message out, and when did Jesus teach his disciples to do this? And they never answered me. And then I asked them, I said, now, is helping the homosexuals get their message out, is that a worker of righteousness or a worker of iniquity?
Yeah.
They don't want to answer that one either, you see?
Yeah.
So
now, was there another incident so that you were handing out leaflets at a conference?
Oh, the AOG conference? It's supposed to be Assembly of God.
Was it an Assembly of God conference?
Yeah, Assembly of God conference last August. They were downtown Phoenix at the Civic Center. And so I went down there. I was on crutches because I had a knee problem. It was just prior to surgery. So I took, because my hands were full with the crutches, so I couldn't take anything down there. So I took 8 of those little scrolls, and I put them in my pocket, and I passed them out to 8 people and talk to them about what I discovered in Rick Warren's book, because they're predominantly...
Wasn't he a speaker? Wasn't Rick Warren a speaker at that conference, of one of the Assembly of God conferences?
Yep, he was a speaker there, and I tried to
corner
him to talk to him, but I didn't. He kind of slipped past me, because there was thousands of people down there. There were pastors from all over the United States over there.
Really?
And some, yeah. And,
so this was a conference that was sponsored by the president of the Assemblies of God.
Yep,
Assembly
of God.
And this was just in August?
Yeah, last August here in Phoenix. It was hot.
Yeah, it's hot in Phoenix in August. And so Rick Warren was one of the speakers. Wow, that's amazing.
And they had pastors from all over. And one, after I got kicked out and I was on the street, one elderly couple there.
So did you
there,
actually go into the conference?
Oh, yeah, I paid to get in. You had to pay $10. And they give you this, like, shoelace thing with a badge, plastic-coated badge thing hanging around your neck.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that was your proof that you paid to get in. And, of course, that didn't mean anything. They wanted me to give it back, and then they're telling.
You didn't give it back, right?
No, I didn't give it back. I still have it, and I told them. I said, "Look, I'm a good paying customer," and one of the people there that they're telling the officer, "That's ours. That's our property. You need to take that from them." And I just looked at the officer and I said, "Officer, I paid for this. This is my property." So he couldn't take it from me because he'd be stealing. So here you have a Phoenix police officer stealing,
so,
and he can't do that.
How did it come to that they actually wanted the officer to take your name tag?
When I was going through the crowd down there talking to different people and inside the conference, yeah.
Okay.
And they have a whole bunch of booths set up all over the place, and if you don't encounter them, they'll come and encounter you and talk to you and strike up a conversation with you, which I was more than happy to do. And then knowing that Tricky Ricky Warren was there and I was trying to get an audience with him, I would bring this, and everybody there knew he was there. So I was bringing the subject up about Rick Warren and all the stuff I discovered, and some of the people I would ask, you know, because they're Assembly of God, they're not Mormon, and if you ask them, do you know that Mormonism is a cult? And they know that. Different Jesus, different gospel.
Right.
And then I tell them about the USA Today article where Kathy Lynn Grossman interviewed Rick Warren, and in that interview, Rick Warren says Mormonism is just another Christian denomination. You see, I said, he's a false teacher. He's promoting a known cult as sound doctrine.
Right.
You know, and they get upset because they're Rick Warren promoters. And then, of course, they didn't want to talk no more, so I just move on to the next person. Well, some gal complained, and they got a hold of the security and the head honchos of the AOG, and they had me escorted out. So... And then, they were, I said, well, I don't have any more of those. I only brought 8 of them with me. I passed them out, and I said, you know, this is not communist China. This is America.
Yeah.
We do have free press here.
Well, they want, the reason why they wanted your name tag is so you couldn't get back in.
Well, they weren't going to let me back in anyway. They said they'd arrest me if I go back in there.
Oh, really?
And... they weren't going to
Well, how did they
in.
Arrest you? What was your crime? I mean, you have to commit a crime to be arrested.
Well, that's what I thought, but
so what city
didn't...
in China were you doing this there?
I think it was Beijing, Phoenix. So.
Oh, that is unbelievable. I would have been like, okay, bring it on. Come on. Yeah, tell me my crime. Go ahead.
Well, because at first they had a couple of officers there, and then they said the security there, the officer said, the security said that you refused to leave. And I said, no, that's not true. I just wanted to talk to somebody in charge here. I said, this is the Assembly of God. They're supposed to be godly Christians, and they know the scripture. They know that we're to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, give no place to the devil, preach the word in season and out of season. I just want to ask some of them, what part of no don't they understand?
Yeah.
And they weren't going to get anybody, any of the big shots down there. And then I said to the officer, I said, hey, this is a violation of my civil rights.
Right.
You took an oath of office here. You could be sued personally. And then
he got real nervous,
and then he said, well, you know, if they don't get somebody down here to talk to you and explain to you why you can't go back in, I'm just going to let you go back in there, and that's between you and them. I said, okay, that works for me. So
yeah.
But they ended up getting, I forget the two big shots' names down there, but it didn't go anywhere. They didn't want me back in there, and And I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be, you know, I was leaving that evening anyway because I was tired and my leg was sore. And I said, but I'm going to be here first thing in the morning. And I was. And I says, I said to the officer, because usually when I go in front of churches, you have to stay on public domain. You can't be on their property. So sometimes I'll get a map and I'll, and it's measured from the center of the street. So I said to the officers that work down there, I said, okay, where's the dividing line between public and private here? And he goes, we don't know. We've been going round and round with that for years. We can't, nobody can figure it out. I said, well, then you can't accuse me of being on private property then, can you? So I'm going to stand right out here in front of the doors. And I did, and I handed out way more material, and I said to these people, I said, here, these people are carrying in all this stuff I'm handing them into the building. You kicked me out for carrying in a little scroll, eight little scrolls that advertise four Christian books by four Christian authors, and that was that one, Who's Driving a Purpose-Driven Church, that they would choose to be deceived on purpose, which results in a time of departing because they rejected the truth in the name of purpose. And then I had a little article on the back, you know, a little writing on the back that they could read, but a scripture on the back of that. But they got upset about that, but I handed out a bunch of them along with the little packet that I hand out with the Charlie Rose interview and the USA Today article and a few other ones. And they were carrying them in and out, and nobody got kicked out.
Yeah.
Now, even my, like from what Susan said earlier in this interview, Bear, is that you weren't selling anything. And so by giving it away, you were competing with all of the filthy lucre in the market.
That's it.
All those booths in there were handing stuff out.
Right.
And then I said, I only had eight of them. I'm all out, and I just want to talk to the people. But they didn't want me talking to the people, which is a violation of your First Amendment. You have free speech.
Oh, absolutely, because you could have been handing out gospel tracts. I'm sure they wouldn't have been offended by that if you were handing out tracts telling people how to receive Jesus. So what's the difference if you were passing out a piece of paper? That's really amazing. How low has the Assembly of God gone into apostasy and false teaching? I think they've lost their minds when they invite a false teacher such as Rick Warren to be a speaker at their national convention. And, of course, Rick Warren is good friends with Rupert Murdoch, who owns, I don't know if he still owns it, the Sun newspaper in London, England. And seeing that newspaper myself, I don't know if it comes out every day or once a week. On page three, there's a nude woman. And that there's a picture of a nude woman in every issue of the Sun newspaper. So, and also they own, I think they now own Zondervan, I think is owned by Rupert Murdoch's publishing company. And they also were publishing the Satanic Bible.
So, yeah, they also published Rick Warren's book, Zondervan.
Yeah. So that's hardly the kind of publishing company you want.
Everything imaginable, from bumper stickers, T-shirts, you know, tapes, DVDs, workbooks. If you go on there and look up Rick Warren, there's just trainloads of materials. It's not as though it's one book.
Oh, yeah, it's a big business. You know, it's really a big business. So then what happened to you after, how many days did you actually spend there at this conference passing out
information? I stayed there until the last day, and then I left. Because there's no point in me staying there any longer. Everybody else is leaving. You know, when people were leaving, I was handing out a bunch of this material. And I met a few of them. I've got their names written down. A few of them that kind of got the idea, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's unscriptural. That's not right.
Yeah, that's
and I
good.
Challenged them to do something, you know, be an advocate
absolutely.
For the truth, tell it like it is, and let the chips fall where they may.
Right.
But I was shocked at how many of the pastors that were there and their wives that just didn't get it. One older pastor, he looked like he was up in his 70s, and his wife was there, and I was briefing him on the USA Today article where Rick Warren says Mormonism is just another Christian denomination. And this pastor's wife agreed that Mormonism was a cult. But then she goes and tells me, but it's a Christian cult. And I said, there's no such thing. You know, there's no such thing as a Christian cult. I said, that's like the Jehovah's Witnesses. And she goes, well, that's a Christian cult also. I said, no, it isn't.
Well, I'm a big advocate of what you did. I like to tell people the same thing. If there's a meeting coming to your town with some of these false teachers like Mike Murdoch or Kenneth Copeland or Fred Price or Creflo Dollar, or you know, a conference such as you went to, that I encourage people to go and to have a sign, or to even, you know, when they start this stuff about, hey, the Lord is speaking to me right now that there are 100 people to give $5,000 and don't miss your moment and all that. I encourage people to stand up and say, no, that's a lie. And so what you did, it just makes my day.
It's got to be one of the best stories you've had on your radio show.
It really is, because it's something that I would like to see more Christians do, is to be active in combating these false teachers. And it's a great way to go in person. I would love to see it on one of their live telethons, like when TBN is having a live telethon. I would love to see someone stand up and say that's a lie when they start all this foolishness with the fundraising. And just to really confront these people openly for what they're doing. Didn't the Apostle Paul do something like that?
Quite regularly.
Yeah, and he got beat up for it, too.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah,
but he went right to the temple, didn't he?
Yeah, and get this, mostly from the religious leaders, not the Gentiles, didn't beat him up. The religious leaders did. But Bear was operating under this illusion going in there that this is a Christian convention, and the scripture said, go and preach the gospel to every tribe and nation, to the ends of the earth, and be a witness unto me. So Bear was walking in there thinking, well, you know, I'm a Christian, and I should be a witness. I'm obeying the words of Jesus, so here I am, and these are other Christians. They'd be interested too, right? Boy, was he in for a rude awakening, right, Bear?
Yeah, it didn't work that way. I think they ought to change it.
You preach the gospel to other Christians, huh, Bear?
What was that?
How dare you preach the gospel to other Christians?
Yeah. They don't want correction, but that's a part of the scripture.
Well, it's a part of the scripture. I had emailed the president of the Assemblies of God about 2 years ago to point some things out to him. And
is that George Wood?
Yeah.
George Wood?
Yeah, George Wood. Uh-huh. And actually, he did answer me, but then he put me in touch with they have actually a person. His name is Zenus, and he's actually I can't remember the exact name of the office he holds, but in other words, he holds an office to keep doctrine pure in the Assemblies of God. That's his official duty. And
what an oxymoron!
Yeah, it was a real oxymoron, because then when he replied to me, he said that above all things, they have to keep unity. So it didn't matter what I was trying to tell him. I was trying to point something out to him, which I thought was very devastating to the Assemblies of God. And basically, he just told me, we don't care because we're into promoting unity, so we're not going to get into any issues with other people. So I wrote back to him and told him just to go back to sleep, because it didn't matter anyway.
I made up a sign and put it in front of Papal Mark's church. It was a big sign, and because they use the same argument, and they all do, it doesn't matter what denomination is, they use that same argument about unity.
Yeah.
The sign read, Calvary Community Church, where love divorces doctrine and unity rejects truth. And then I had the scripture down below
says... Yeah, they're into unity, but they weren't into unity when it came to you.
No. We're all supposed to come to the unity of the faith. That's
right.
Faith in the Jesus of the scripture. not some other Jesus. We're supposed
contend
to be, come to the unity.
Contend, right?
Right, but we're all, yeah. Right, contend. It's in Jude, but it also
yeah.
says we're to come to the unity of the faith.
Yeah.
You see? It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Yeah.
It's not earnestly multiple lords, multiple faiths.
For the right. faith.
Not
so
unity
means,
at the price of truth.
Yeah, not unity for the price of truth, because the Bible tells us to contend for the faith, which means to argue for the faith. And Jesus Christ gave his life. So what can we do then to defend the gospel? Of course, we haven't paid that price yet, but it's really amazing, isn't it, what's happening in the church world. And I really thank God so much that I'm able to have this broadcast and that these programs are archived for the time being. I don't know how long it's going to last and how many years these things will be available, but they'll be here for people and to help people, because I feel like there are many people that have questions today. And when they stay in these so-called churches where they're not allowed to question anything and they just walk around in a daze, you know, they kind of look like glassy-eyed, like they're in cults, and they can't think. They've turned off their critical thinking because they don't want to be ostracized. They don't want to lose their ministry or their friends. But what does that matter, really? When you're talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the most important thing that we can tell people about while we're here. Our time is short here, and we want to please God. So it doesn't really matter.
Blair has another story of what happened to him at another church. Lee McFarland in Surprise, Arizona. Can you share that, Blair? Can we do that, or do you want to do that in the next half hour?
Go ahead. Yeah, we have another half hour.
Yeah, that was in, I think, 2006. I was over there. That was October. He's a Rick Warren's, Lee McFarland's church over there. What's the name of his church again, James?
I think it's Radiant, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Radiant Church. And it's on
Great
Paradise
name for
Lane.
Church. Radiant Church. Oh.
Yeah, well,
we've got a church called Liquid Church out here. And I have a saying that what isn't solid, as in the solid rock.
Yeah, Liquid Church, Radiant Church.
Liquid or gas, or then I repeat myself.
Yeah, I come up with a good name for a church, and I share it with some people sometimes, but of course it doesn't go over real good, but it gets the point across. I said they should call it Hoth Ministries, H-O-T-H, and for the senior pastor, they should put Pastor Ham, H-A-M.
Yeah.
So Hoth Ministries, H-O-T-H, would be High on the Hog.
Yeah.
And Pastor Ham would be High and Mighty, because that's the way they act. They act like they're high and mighty. Like,
yes, they
you know,
do.
They're, like,
yes, they
that's
do.
The Nicolaitan one where they want to lord it over the people.
Right,
and,
that's the Nicolaitan. Yes,
and
but we see that, you know, it's so prevalent. I don't know how grown adults, and some of these people are college-educated people, and yet they allow themselves to go into these buildings, and they turn over their mind to the pastor. It really is amazing, really, when you think about it, how strong that deception is, and
right.
How people. People will do just about anything to be accepted. So
right, one guy. Let me back up a little bit in front of Papal Mark's church when I was over there. One guy in particular comes to mind. He was about a 45-year-old guy, I'm guessing 43, 45 years old, and him and his wife and their adult children attended there. And he knew the pastor well, and the pastor was good friends with his older brother. But anyways, he agreed with everything. him and his wife did it, you know, and they went through all the material. They couldn't find anything unscriptural that I was passing out. As a matter of fact, nobody could. I challenged the people that I talked to. I said, now look, at you go, if you know the scripture, you be a good Berean and go through this material, and you find anything on scripture, you bring it back to me, but you have to back up your position with scripture.
Yeah.
And anything I hand out, nobody's been able to refute. So talking with this guy, we were down the sidewalk a little ways, and talking with him there, and my back was against the church, and he was facing the church, and we were talking back and forth, and all of a sudden this guy turns white as a ghost, man. The blood just drained out of him. You would have thought we were caught in a drug deal and we just got busted by the police. And I turn around, and here's two of Papal Mark's puppet deacons coming around the corner, and he was in fear of them because they'll go back and tell Papal Mark. And, you know, it's like, I said to him, I said, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
I said, I'm not promoting false doctrine. I'm exposing it. I said, that's what we're supposed to do as soldiers in Christ. But he had his neck in their snare. Papal Mark had a snare around his neck. And the scripture says, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The very next verse, it says, the fear of man brings a snare.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to put have a snare around our neck by anybody.
Right. That's right.
So, and I thought, man, but I ran into so many people like that. They're so intimidated. They're afraid, you know, of whatever, you know.
Well, but, you know, like myself, now I was in a full-time ministry, traveling and speaking in many of these Word of Faith churches back in the 90s. And when I came to the decision that I wasn't going to, you know, buy into this stuff anymore, and I tried to talk to the pastor, the man who was my pastor at the time, but of course they wanted me out of there. They wanted to get rid of me because they were into the whole seed faith thing and the whole tithing thing, and they were afraid they were going to lose their jobs and their finances or whatever, which that might happen for a season, but eventually the Lord's going to bless you and restore whatever you lost. But at the time, I had to take myself completely out of it. So I was out of a job, so to speak, because that was my job. And I had to go and do other things. But it's not so easy for people that are making, say, $50,000 or $100,000 a year. Some of these guys are taking in millions. So it's not that easy to give all that up. Your house, your airplane, your Rolex, your Bentley. And so it's like, who's your master? Who do you love more? Do you love the gospel of Jesus Christ more? And are you willing to get another job so that you could stand for the truth? But most of these guys, they just won't do it.
Well, they're not trusting the Lord.
It says
in Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all
right.
of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. And that's what
right,
they're not doing.
The Bible also says whatever is not of faith is sin. So teaching tithing and teaching the seed sowing and these kind of doctrines, it's not faith, because the pastor is not living by faith. These Bible teachers that are on television aren't living by faith. So it's sin. So the whole system is corrupt.
Right.
And they're not trusting God. It's so much. I used to think I trusted God, but, you know, I realized I really didn't trust God the way I should have. I didn't let God know my needs and trust him to meet my needs, because I was buying into the whole false church system. But once I got out of it and I started to clear my head of all that, and I realized, wow, what was I into? You know, how did I get into that mess? But,
well, it comes in so subtly.
Yeah, it's subtle.
You know, when my wife and I were so dramatically cast from the church like that, you know, that really played on my mind with the what the officer said, this is private property, because we were told, well, it's the Lord's property. And I've always had a problem with that over the years, because visiting different churches, and I'm thinking, there's that door and it says private, and what's so private and what's the big secret behind there and how does this thing work? And nobody wanted to answer my question. They just invite me to go find another church. So
yeah,
I did my own homework on it, and James helped me, but and you can go down to Corporation Commission. Every state has one, but all these, most all, 99.99% of the churches are state-controlled corporations. And the root meaning of the word incorporate is to merge together as one. And Jesus nowhere said in the scripture that he would make his church one with Caesar, a.k.a. state government, and that Caesar would be the head and he would play second fiddle. Because
That's very true.
The state... Yeah, it is. The state is in first position, so that only leaves second fiddle position. So what kind of Jesus are they promoting? They're promoting a state-controlled, second fiddle, jive turkey Jesus, and that Jesus can't save anybody.
Well, they don't know the real Jesus. It's like, well, the real Jesus, please stand up, because you see the Word of God's been so watered down, and it's supposedly church system. When you go to these places on Sunday, and it's just become a business, it's not a caring center anymore. People don't really care about each other. They just care about what they could get out of going there. And so there's so much.
Well, you're right. It is a business. And
yeah.
In the case of Calvary Community, Mark Martin owns it. He's the president and CEO of that corporation.
Right.
That's public record, and anybody can go look at it.
Well, it's true,
see?
Because when they leave, if they leave, they usually sell the building and keep the money, which they don't have any right to. I mean, if the building was built with donations, they don't own it. I believe that they should sell it and redistribute it back to the people that gave the money to build the place if they're going to desert it. But a lot of these guys do that. They'll just pick up and leave and sell the property and move on and keep the money for themselves. But
that's still, they're still lying to the people. They're convincing the people that that's the Lord's church, when that is a lie. The Lord's church is not a state-controlled corporation. Scripture says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the church. The building is just where the church meets, and it doesn't have to be in a state-controlled environment.
That's right.
You see?
That's right.
So. It isn't just the control that that unique pastor's master has over that property. There's other aspects, and you're an expert on this, how demonic and diabolical the 501c3 status of a church by forming this alliance with the state. But one guy who's actually in favor of it sent an email out saying that this is what 501c3 churches can and cannot do. And there's a whole bunch more than this, but just a partial thing is, a church may not endorse candidates directly or indirectly from the pulpit on the behalf of the church. Now, imagine you have a church of Jesus Christ. If it was the true church, it would be able to stand out from the pulpit and say that a congregation, I appeal to you to, when you vote, that you do not vote for Obama, because he is not, he's a false brother in Christ, and that be able to state that from the, you can't state that from a 501c3 pulpit. So that's more like China. They have two kinds of churches in China: the underground churches, which is the true church, and they have the state church, which has everything approved. How is that different from a 501c3, Bear?
Yeah, it doesn't sound much different at all. But, you know, that's been going on for over 200 years. It started back in James Madison's day, the author of our Constitution, also one of the signers. There was a minister back in his day that wanted to incorporate his church. James writes him a letter warning him not to do it. The guy thumbs his nose at James Madison, goes ahead and does it anyway. And that leaven society. And, you know, they've been doing it for all these years now. And I often say to some of these pastors, I said, you know, what are you going to say when you stand before the Lord? Lord, we've been doing this for over 200 years. Haven't we Christianized it yet? You know, it doesn't work that way. No amount of time can Christianize anything.
Yeah. The thing is, you can't Christianize a government because God has his own government, and his government is not of this world. So we're not going to Christianize a worldly government. It's ridiculous.
Right. And so that ties right in with the dominionist kingdom now theology.
Yeah.
If it's not the Roman Catholic Church, it's all of these other Protestant denominations and movements, like a New Apostolic Reformation, the Apostles, that they're basically not just going to take over the church for the world and be a one-world church. They're going to take over business, the instruments of commerce. So the idea is for the church to basically become effectively the vicar of Christ in place of him. It's very scary, and I don't know how many scriptures you need to prove that the last days, the end times, everything's going to wax worse and worse. Evil wax worse and worse, and it goes on in both Isaiah and the prophet, Old Testament and New Testament prophets underline this, and Paul and Timothy, and on it goes, warning us of the end times, and Jesus Christ himself in the Olivet Discourse. Revelation does it, and it's like, how much more do we need to be told and be not deceived? We're told, do not be deceived. All these things are going to happen. And then they have the church turn right around and said, no, it's going to get better and better, and we're going to make sure that happens.
Yeah. They're having a big conference. I think James Robison is sponsoring this ecumenical conference about, you know, in other words, to take back America. How could you take back what never belonged to the church in the first place? It wasn't founded as a Christian nation. You know, the whole thing is so ridiculous, but it's part of that whole deception.
Eric, how do you feel about Rick Warren speaking with Joel Osteen at the Hillside National or International Conference in Australia in 2013?
Wow.
Well, the wolves are getting together, aren't they?
Yeah.
Joel Osteen, I saw, I had a copy of the interview, a transcript of it. He was on Larry King Live, and Joel Osteen, Larry King's a Jew, and you know, the Jews don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. They just see him as a good prophet. So we say that Jesus is the only way. But Larry King was asking Joel Osteen, well, is Jesus the only way? And Joel Osteen wouldn't admit that Jesus was the only way. He was dancing around that. Larry King asked him about five times in that interview, and he danced around every one of them. And I'm thinking, you know, the creator of the universe says he's the only way. Who is Joel Osteen to say he's not?
He didn't want to offend, you know, any potential customers from buying his book, but Larry King was a good interviewer. I thought he put him on the spot. But
showed his true colors there.
Well,
but,
also Larry King's wife is a Mormon, so he did even ask about the Mormons. I think he danced around that one too.
Yeah. See, Jesus himself says in the scripture, he says, "Beware of the false Christs." So they must exist, or he wouldn't say beware of them.
Yeah.
The Church of Rome, the Church of Rome has
right.
a Jesus attached to its belief system, and that Jesus agrees with Church of Rome doctrine. The Mormons have a Jesus attached to their belief system. Their Jesus agrees with Mormon doctrine. You can go right down the line. Tricky Ricky Warren has a Jesus attached to his belief system, and his Jesus agrees with his doctrine.
That's
even
right.
Jim Jones, who murdered his congregation, had a Jesus attached to his belief system, and his Jesus agreed with his doctrine. And all these guys call their Jesuses Christ. Well, they can't all be the Christ. You see, there's only one Christ, and that's the Christ of the Scripture.
That's
not the Roman Catholic, the Seventh-day Adventist, or Mormons, or Jehovah Witnesses, or Baptist, or whatever, you see.
Yeah, well, the Bible talks about that they'll preach another gospel and another Jesus, and that's exactly what they're seeing. You can't even recognize the Jesus they're talking about. They talk about a Jesus that walks around all the time, when he walked on the earth, he was walking around, he was tempted all the time with everything that a human being would be tempted with, and so they put Jesus down to a level and accept him as being a man, which he never gave up his divinity. He never thought like a man. He didn't have the mind of a man. He had the mind of Christ. And so you could see, even with a lot of the new Bible translations, which I'm not a big fan of, they take Jesus and they have to put him down and make him be who he isn't. And we also see this with the Catholic Church now. Their Jesus actually lives in a wafer. They've managed to convince over 1 billion people that the God of the universe comes down and lives in a wafer. So
right.
it doesn't take much to deceive people. when you can get them to believe that.
Yeah, I think of that poem on the Roman miracle.
Have you ever wondered why they wanted to have Christ come down and every time they have a mass that he has to be, his body has to be there? Do you know why they do that? Because I've always wondered, well, you know, I grew up Baptist, and I thought, well, you know, it's not true, but what would their motive be? I mean, can't Jesus just stay in heaven till he returns? I mean, like the book of Acts says, what would be the purpose? The purpose is abundantly clear, is that it puts them in complete bondage to the priest, because
yes.
He has complete control, absolute
yes.
control over each one of those members by making sure that Christ is in the wafer, and that they can only gain access to Christ if the priest is ministering this
That's
wafer.
Right. That's right.
And to say nothing about the financial component and the requirement of mass and the requirement of tithing. Speaking of tithing, I want to applaud and thank Susan for helping this radio interview that she had of Dr. Russell Kelly on tithing and the recent interview where Dr. Russell Kelly, who did his doctorate on tithing, he completely demolished the stronghold of Rick Warren's forced covenants, tyranny of tithing, in that radio interview. And Bear is going to, and has permission because well, both Susan and Dr. Russell Kelly gave him permission to just burn as many CDs as he wants them.
Amen. That's such a blessing. I'm so grateful that you're going to do that, because I love to get this word out to people. It's another ridiculous religious bondage that people believe, that they have to pay God. They actually have to pay him to do things for them. Now, that is a ridiculous teaching. And, you know, I personally was a tither for 15 years before I got set free. I've been a Christian now for 31 years, but I got set free from all that. I found that I didn't have to buy God off. I didn't have to pay him when I got saved. I didn't have to bring him a little offering and, you know, some candy and flowers so that he would do something for me. I merely had to ask. And then I realized one day, I woke up after I was washing my brain out with the water of the word, and I found out I didn't have to bribe God. I didn't have to pay him off. His love was unconditional. It was even unconditional in the area of finances, that I could ask and receive, and that God knew what I needed, and he knew when to give it to me, and there wasn't any... I could give him all the money in the world, and that still wouldn't make him do something for me. It's ridiculous how we think that we can bribe God to do things for us, and how many of these so-called pastors are teaching this, and people are going every Sunday, and they're buying into it by the millions.
Susan, you're in Florida, and Bear's in Arizona, and I'm in New Jersey. Here's my question, is which of the three states is doing more to pilfer the people with this financial bondage and tithing and false teaching? I have to admit, I'm not sure I could give you the answer, but I can sure say that those three states have got to be in the top 10.
Sure. Well, then, of course, you have California.
And Texas.
And, but I don't know of any churches that don't teach tithing. I mean, maybe there are some, but I personally don't know of any.
Yeah, I've never met any either, and it's a lie. They're just lying to the people and telling them they need to do this when it's not in the scripture. You know, Jesus never taught tithing for the church.
Never.
That's old covenant.
Yeah.
You know.
He never taught it, and I appreciate the comments in the chat room. We have about 10 minutes left. If anyone wants to call in, if you have a question before we close, it's 914-338-1638. I want to thank everybody that logged into the chat room. And if you want to call in and share a question in the last 10 minutes, please do. I see someone called in. 914-338-1638. So I'm going to take this call. I don't know what happened to it, but anyway, there was a call, but it's gone now. So if you do want to call, go ahead. 914-338-1638. And also, I don't know if you want to contact Bear, maybe you could. How could they contact you, Bear, through James or?
Yeah, that'll work. They can. I'm not on the internet, so I don't have email.
Yeah.
They can email James, and James can send it down to me.
Okay.
Yeah, use the email that's on our website where anybody can write there. That way, my security is protected. Just to go to perfectpeaceplan.com and you can go into the comments there and
okay.
And
so perfectpeaceplan.com is James Sundquist's website, and James is the author of a book that he's done many, many thousands of hours of research on Rick Warren, who's driving the purpose-driven church and the perfect peace plan. So he knows what he's talking about. He's got pages and pages of research that he's done. Anyway, the caller is back, so let's see what this caller has to say. Hello, caller.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. So what, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I do. I wonder, you know, the whole tithing thing and stuff like that, you know, because a lot of times, especially, like, I'm in West Virginia, so, you know, unless you're in the coal mines or, you know, have like a job in electricity or something like that, you really don't make a lot of money out here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so like I often wonder because like the pastors out here, they sometimes talk about tithing, but they really don't push it.
Oh.
That easy. Yeah. So, but they do kind of push offering.
Yeah.
So.
They don't push trust God. You know, it would be great, wouldn't it, if the pastor actually believed what he was preaching?
Well,
I find it ironic that they want to talk about faith, but they don't have any. So, like, how do they expect the congregation to trust God to meet their needs if they can't?
Right, and that's the thing is that, you know, sometimes with me, I'm a work in progress. Like, I tell people all the time, like, I believe in God. But then it's so hard sometimes because you see organizations like, the whole Jim Jones thing, like how he got so many people to believe in him. And then he ended up killing everybody, including himself. Well,
yeah.
Mostly everybody, not everybody, but mostly. Then you have groups like the Ku Klux Klan that claim to be, oh, we're good Christians and blah, 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 blah. Then afterwards, like not too long ago, I think it was in Alabama, when they had like this whole Christianity group meet together, but they wanted whites only.
Yeah.
And then they burned the cross at the end. But they
Christians. You know, they're not really Christians. Anybody can put that label on themselves as a Christian, but a true Christian follows the teachings of Jesus, and Jesus didn't go around killing people. And, you know, in the name of Christ. So we always have to remember that we have to look, no matter what any human being is doing, you have to look at the teachings of Jesus Christ through his word, through the Bible. And then you won't be deceived, and you won't turn your back on Jesus Christ because men have a free will. So they can say and do anything. But that has nothing to do. I always say, no matter what happens to me in life, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ because he's the one I follow.
Right.
And this way, I don't have, if somebody does something to me and it's not Christ-like. I'm not going to lose my faith in Jesus Christ because of what some human being did.
Right.
And keep your eyes on the Lord. And
yeah, he's the author and perfecter of our faith. That's where they're mistaken. That's where they need to keep their eyes on the Lord.
That's it. Because if we don't, then there's so many deceivers out there, and it's true. These people that follow Jim Jones, they didn't have enough sense to see when he started to go off to leave.
Right.
And they stayed.
Yeah.
And even these people that are in the Ku Klux Klan, they don't have enough sense to see the hatred and the killing and the violence. That has nothing to do with Jesus.
No.
Well, you know, the Ku Klux Klan and Jim Jones, what they have done in terms of killing people is not hardly a blip on the radar compared with Roman Catholicism that's killed estimated hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah, hundreds of millions. And they call it a Christian church, but it's not a Christian church. And that's why God gave us his word. You know, he wrote a book for us to read, because if we stay in that book and we believe it, then we're not going to be shaken. Our faith won't be shaken by the actions of other people. Because there will be an Antichrist here in the end times. There will be someone rise up, and there will be a one-world government. There will be a one-world church, and it will be easy for people to be deceived. So that's why we have to go on.
And the stage is set for it now.
Yeah, the stage
it's right
set
for that.
Yeah.
I wanted not to tie this up, because I know we're getting toward the end, but
yeah,
this
just
could,
about 4 minutes.
But I want to just tie up or pull out an earlier comment that that Bear has stated, and he quotes this all the time, that where these people came up and did all these works in the name of Jesus, and he says, "Depart from me, you wicked and cursed. I never knew you." Well, you sometimes wonder what works he was talking about. Well, I can tell you. In Mark 7:13, and Paul the Apostle did the same thing. This is referring to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, etc., and basically the Judaizers, the Judaism of the first century. And Jesus writes in Mark 7:13, they are making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. Notice he doesn't say you've just hampered it. He said, you've made it of none effect.
Yeah.
He says in Matthew 15:9, but in vain do they worship me for teaching doctrines, the commandments of men. And he says it also in Mark 7:7, howbeit in vain do they worship me teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. So traditions and the commandments of men, which is effectively Roman Catholicism, he doesn't say, well, Roman Catholicism is a good faith, it's a Christian faith that just has too many bells and whistles and tithing, etc. He says, and I looked up in Hebrew and in Greek, the passages where vain is used, and it says emptiness, null and void, nothingness, vanity, falsehood, worthlessness. So Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul are saying, effectively, it's not only, it's not just a crippled but good religion, it's a religion that is totally worthless.
Okay, we have one more caller. I'm going to take this call real quickly here. Hello, caller.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Good. We just have a few minutes left, so go on with your question.
I just want to say hi to my brother Bear and to James, and I really enjoyed the show.
Blessings upon you.
What's that again?
That's my little big brother Mike. He's older than me, but I'm taller than him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was a great program today.
They make too much trouble when they're physically together.
Well, I just want to thank my sister for calling in, and keep your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. No matter if you're in West Virginia or, you know, wherever you are, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. He can give you a way to earn a living on the internet or, you know, there's so many things God can do regardless of the fact that there's no jobs. There's jobs for people that trust God. There will be a job. and God will find something for you to do. You know, there's always somebody that needs their windows washed or their gutters cleaned out, or there's so many things people can really do. They can invent jobs. And so, you know, God is a loving Heavenly Father, and He provides. He makes a way. He rained manna down from heaven to feed those rebellious Israelites there. So God is perfectly able to take care of His children. So you be encouraged.
Okay.
God bless you, and thanks
yes.
for calling in, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody. So I want to thank my guests today, Bear Frankson and James Sundquist. Thank you so much for being on today and being such a blessing to the body of Christ.
Thank you.
And
great.
God bless you too, Susan.
Yeah, I'll be expecting to hear more good testimonies. And thank you for your work, both of you. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you. Bye.
And thanks for the package, Bear. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Yes, thank you for thinking of me. Bye, James, and bye, Bear. All right, everybody,
bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in today, and God bless you. And remember, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't given your life to Him today, ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and tell Him to come in and reveal Himself to you. Jesus Christ is faithful and true, and He loves you more than anyone will ever love you. He's a true friend, and He's our Lord and our Savior, and He wants to give you a new life today. He wants to give you peace and joy, and things that you can't buy with money. You can't buy peace. You can't buy joy, but Jesus Christ can give it to you. Ask Jesus to come in today. You won't be sorry. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.